school. You went to Hollywood.
All right, continuing on now as we look towards 2020. On the federal level, will impeachment be sent to the Senate? Who knows? Will the Democrats try to impeach again? Not sure of that either. Closer to home, across Michigan, what is the landscape going to look like for 2020? Are we going to fix the damn roads? I don't know. Kyle Mullen here, editor and vice president of MERS News. Kyle, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Glad to be here.
So what do you think is top of mind for the agenda in Lansing?
I think that the top of mind is trying to fix the damn roads. But as every day ticks off the calendar, the less the likelihood is that we're going to get what you would call, quote-unquote, a complete fix. Governor Whitmer has said that she wanted to raise $2.5 billion additional for the roads. And I don't know how close she's going to get to that number, and if she's going to be satisfied with something less than 2.5. I think that's going to be the overriding question of 2020. And if she's not satisfied with what the end result is, will she want to go to the ballot? Is that going to be the path that they end up choosing? Kind of like a proposal.
Well,
hey,
let me ask you
want to raise
this.
Your sales tax, or you want to raise your gas tax. I mean, that kind of an A or B option for voters, I see as being a very real scenario.
Well, let me ask you this: $2.5 billion, the goal. How much is in the pot so far?
Nothing.
Okay.
As far as additional revenue, as far as what she's talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not. I mean, the Republican leadership has suggested, okay, well, why don't we just take all the money that's collected at the pump and dedicate it to roads, as opposed to getting a sales tax on gas, which we have right now. And of course, the sales tax goes mostly to schools and local governments and other things. But you can go ahead and do that, but then how are you going to make up the money for the schools and the local governments and the other things? That's always been kind of the sticky problem. So the Republicans haven't come up with a proposal yet to raise additional revenue, and that's kind of where we're stuck, and we've been stuck at since really last year.
So they just continue to stay in the same place. Obviously, 2020, Democrats in Michigan would like to build on their successes of 2018. They'd like to see themselves get control of the House or the Senate. I mean, how do you handicap something like that this far away?
Well, they've got an opportunity in the state house. The state senate isn't up this year. That goes every 4 years and is during the term of a governor. So they only got a shot at the house. And I honestly, Steve, I think they got a pretty decent shot. Actually, for a few reasons. First, we got to look at what the districts look like. And this is the last year of the 2011 maps, and that's always the worst opportunity for the party that drew the maps, which are the Republicans, to defend them. So they're working on very old maps. Second of all, this is a presidential year, which always makes things a little sticky because that tends to draw out more Democrats than Republicans. But also, we're seeing such a shift in Oakland County and other suburban areas toward Democrats that they have opportunities in areas that they've never had opportunities in before. Now, the Republicans have opportunities in areas as well, but those areas are represented by incumbents. And I'm thinking like a rural Genesee County, for example, or Bay County. Now, those are two areas that are represented by incumbents, and so that would be harder for Republicans to pick up. Whereas if you look in certain seats in Oakland County, like Novi, Rochester, these are areas where, or suburban Kalamazoo County, these are areas where Republicans always tend to win, but right now they're represented by people who are term limited out of office. So this is going to be an open run for Democrats.
What about congressional seats, the 8th and the 11th, obviously, that flipped to Democrats last year, Alyssa Slotkin and Haley Stevens? A lot of pressure on them because of the impeachment and so forth. I wouldn't want to be Alyssa Slotkin with that vote in this district that's an R+4 district.
No, I see what you're saying. That was a tough vote for her. I think she either alienated her Democratic base or she possibly upset her independent folks who got her over the top in 2018. And I think she knows that. The thing, though, for Republicans is they need a candidate who's got some money. Because Alyssa Slotkin has a lot of it, and she's got a lot of friends who've got a lot of it. So unless the Republicans can find somebody who has got a lot of money and is willing to spend it, I think they're still going to be the underdogs in that seat. Now, interestingly, Mike Bishop's tone on that seat has changed a little bit. When I talked to him about 5 months ago, he didn't seem very interested at all. And now recently, in various interviews, he's equivocated a little bit and basically said, well, never say never, I mean, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's possible. Now, if Mike Bishop gets in, then that seat gets a lot more interesting. Haley Stevens, I don't think, is necessarily in trouble just because of the same factor. They just don't have a top-tier candidate there to run against her. I think what could happen, though, is Fred Upton could be in some trouble in southwest Michigan. I'd watch out for that. The Democrats have a much better candidate than they did last year. And last year, it's 2019. So, yeah, last year. And so they've got a better candidate and somebody who has been relentless already. And then also keep a watch on that Justin Amash seat, because if he's serious and goes ahead and runs as an independent, libertarian, whatever, he could suck up enough votes in that district to hand that victory to the Democrats. They could chop that up in a way that the Democrats could win it. And so I think it's more likely that the Republicans lose seats than actually gain seats in 2020.
All right, let me ask you about this. Donald Trump statewide still seems to enjoy pretty decent support in Michigan. I don't think that anybody that voted for Trump has gone the other direction of people that I talk to. That's independents, that's some Democrats that crossed over, and of course the Republicans. If Donald Trump does well here in 2020, it would mean that John James would do well. So you could lose a couple of House seats. Okay, I'll grant you that. But it's possible John James could be very competitive.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, if I would agree with that initial sentiment. I haven't talked to anybody who supported Donald Trump in 2016 who's changed their mind. His support among people who backed him then is just as strong, if not stronger. The question is going to be voter enthusiasm, and if voters are going to be enthused to go to the polls. The very early prognostications from Mark Grebner is that he's expecting a record turnout of 5 million voters. Now, if we get something like that, that's not good news for Republicans. But if folks are just beaten down on politics, they're frustrated about impeachment, it could be low and Trump could do just fine.
I'm not sure if that's true, you know, because the problem the Democrats have is that a lot of the folks, I mean, Donald Trump in many ways is the first truly independent candidate we've ever had that became president. He crosses over. And so I don't know that big voter turnout's good news for the Democrats. Traditionally, that's been the truth. But, of course, traditionally, by old school models, Donald Trump would never have been elected. So some of that, you know, you take with a grain of salt. And we're a long way away anyway. And so we'll be able to pontificate and speculate a lot more. Kyle, greatly appreciate you being here, and I hope you have a happy new year.
You too, Steve. Always good to talk to you.
There you have it. Kyle Malin, editor and vice president of MERS News. What's in store for 2020? Honestly, none of us know, but it's fun to speculate sometimes. Quick break. We'll be back on the Steve Brewer Show, brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to customers all across Michigan. You never want to make that call to the insurance company. I know I don't, but when you have to, you have to. I'm Steve Gruber, and that's why I trust Mauer Foster Insurance. Just recently, I had to make that call. My truck got banged up, and it needed some work. I called Mauer Foster for answers. What a relief to deal with a team of professionals that knew exactly what I needed. It took one phone call, my repairs were in motion, and now I'm back on the road. So when anyone asks me, who do I trust for insurance? That's easy. Mauer Foster Insurance in Lansing.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.